Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Well, Kingdom, the Chiefs' third preseason game is in the books. I think the Chiefs ended up losing this one 24-17. Of course, preseason scores don't really matter. Obviously, since, you know, I got it wrong in the first preseason game podcast, and, you know, who knows if I got it right last week. So, nobody cares about the score. It's all about, seeing the first teamers get some snaps, and then seeing all those young guys come in and fill in behind them and kind of seeing what you got. Before I jump into my mess of notes from this game, I do want to mention that the Chiefs' next preseason game is this Thursday. Of course, there probably won't be really any starters playing in this game. It's just kind of for the bottom of the roster guys. Maybe the last two or three roster spots are still up for grabs. But really, a lot of it is just, I think teams know who they're going to keep by that fourth game. And a lot of it is just a rehearsal for the rest of the NFL. If they've got a weakness somewhere, they can watch these games and see what other teams are going to have to release and who might fit their team. I also want to say that you can always get a hold of me at jthefan1 on Twitter or at arrowheadfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Now, I'm going to jump right into this. Of course, the very first thing that jumped out was DeAnthony Thomas making the very first tackle on the very first special teams play. He was pretty pumped about that. I think it was Juan Thornhill that came out and actually gave him a pretty good pop as he was running off the field and almost knocked Thomas down. And I had to chuckle, but it was fun to see him out there making a play. I mean, if he's going to be on this team, we want to see him contribute. Of course, the Chiefs defense was on the field to start. I noticed Reggie Ragland playing, strong side linebacker. He looked very good against the run, especially early on. He was very strong on that corner. They went that direction a couple times, and he took care of business. Now, of course, later on in the game, I'll get to that later, but Ragland looks good against the run anyway. Hitchens, I noticed him biting on a play fake early in the game. Damian Wilson did too, and they left the middle of the field open for a play action pass. I believe it got him the 49ers a first down, and I noticed that throughout the game, even with the second string linebackers in there with Neiman, he bit on a lot of play fakes, left the middle of the field open, and the 49ers got some easy completions over the middle of the field. I understand wanting to stop the run and to be strong against the run, but at the same time, those plays, passing plays over the middle are much bigger chunks of yardage. So that's something I would like to see the Chiefs linebackers be a little bit less aggressive, be a little more game aware, and, take that extra half a second to make sure that it's a run instead of running to their gap and leaving the middle zone of the passing defense completely uncovered. The starting defensive line looks strong. You just see Alex Okafor, Chris Jones, Naughty, or Xavier Williams, Justin Hamilton was in there a little bit early, but especially Xavier Williams and Frank Clark, they're just strong. It's hard to push those guys around, and they just stood up the 49ers offensive line quite a few times. And that's fun to see, the offensive line not being able to get any penetration and being able to get to linebackers. I noticed early Frank Clark, there was a bootleg. He read it well. He was able to cover the wide receiver running across the field. Now, he didn't stay step for step with him, but he recognized it enough and made Garoppolo, go to a different receiver. Bashaud Breeland made a good play on that receiver, and it was a good stop. And I also noticed, Frank Clark is really good at backside pursuit. Those plays where the offensive line leaves the defensive end uncovered, blocks down the other direction. He's just fast enough that he can get to the other side of the offensive line and make the play on the running back from behind. It's something that Dee Ford was very good at in the run game. It's about the only thing Dee Ford was good at in the run game. But Frank Clark also has that ability. Bashad Breeland, I mentioned him just a minute ago, but he does look good. He's not a world beater for sure. He's not somebody that's going to shut a wide receiver down, but he's very competitive, and he's got a little bit of cockiness to him. And I think, you have to have a little bit of that in a corner because they are in a losing position on basically every play. So you got to have somebody with a little bit of confidence to, keep them in this. I did notice early on, it's kind of the whole Spags thing, but he brought Kendall Fuller on a blitz out of the slot on third down, and Fuller just, he wasn't into it on that play. You could definitely tell they had a tackle ready to block him. He didn't really even try to skirt the tackle. He just took the tackle on head on, and of course, a slot corner is not going to win that battle. They just threw basically right over the top of him to Marquise Goodwin, who Ward was on. But to be fair, Marquise Goodwin has close to Tyreek Hill type speed, so Ward is going to have to play off of him quite a bit, and they ran a short route to him. So, but I just thought Fuller could have shown a little bit better effort on that slot blitz. There were times in this game where I didn't see a lot of pass rush from the Chiefs. I was a little bit, maybe a little bit worried. Frank Clark did get the sack in the second quarter. I'm a little PO'd at NFL Network because I wasn't able to watch this game live. I was able to listen to most of it, but I wasn't able to watch it live. So I DVR'd the NFL Network a replay of it at midnight last night. And for whatever reason, the first half of the second quarter is just not there. It's just blacked out, so I wasn't able to see his sack. But I felt like the Chiefs defense, if it's going to be successful, needs to get more pressure on quarterbacks and speed up their thinking. Because, the secondary and, linebackers, all this coverage is going to take some time before it starts clicking. And they need all the help they can get. There were a lot of breakdowns in the secondary last night. Anthony Hitchens, I noticed that one third and short, he came up, made a good run stop, kept the 49ers from making the first down. But I thought one thing that was a little bit under the radar was that Xavier Williams playing one tech there. He took out two offensive linemen, completely blocked them down, and that left Hitchens a gap to run through, and a gap where he didn't really have to avoid anybody. He was just able to come downhill and put a hit on the running back. So Hitchens made a good play, but Xavier Williams made a, in my opinion, a great play right there. Chris Jones on the very next play on that fourth and short, he wasn't able to get a lot of push because they knew it was going to be a short pass, but he was able to get his hands up. He's the only Chiefs defensive lineman that got his hands up. It was really good awareness on the play, and of course, he just happened to be right where Garoppolo was trying to go, and he swatted the ball. That was just some really great awareness by Chris Jones right there. And then to the Chiefs offense, Mahomes looked very good last night. He was 8 of 10 for 126 yards, a touchdown, and I think 8 rushing yards, which that accounts for about half of the Chiefs' total offense, because the Chiefs' total offense didn't do much last night. I think they were in the 200 and maybe 60-yard range for the game, so not a lot of offense. It really seemed like the Chiefs were focused on keeping things shorter in the passing game last night. The offensive line hasn't been giving Mahomes just a ton of protection. So I think they're trying to keep Mahomes safe and, you know, keep this offense moving. So, you know, when the regular season gets here, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think they will push the ball down the field a little bit more than they have in these preseason games with all of the shorter passes. Now, of course, the big offensive play last night was a pass to Damian Williams on a little wheel route. He went 62 yards. It was a great play by Damian Williams and Patrick Mahomes. I have to laugh a little bit because I put out a podcast yesterday talking about Darwin Thompson. And, you know, how good he's going to be as a receiver. And I was talking about how Damian Williams, you know, he only averaged 6.7 yards per target last year as a receiver, which, you know, out of the past few years, Chiefs running backs, that's definitely on the lower end of the running backs. And I was talking about how basically the difference between him and some of the running backs in the past was that he wasn't getting the big home run plays in the passing game. And of course, you know, he did right off the bat yesterday, which that was nice to see. I think it's going to take him and Darwin Thompson and probably a third guy, a Darrell Williams, to really get through this season and to get the most out of all of them. You want to keep those guys fresh. You want to keep them strong. And, you know, to be completely fair, there was a defensive lineman on Damian Williams covering him on that play, which was just, you know, the Chiefs caught him in the right defensive call. It was a guy about the size of Tano Passanio, if that gives you any hints. So Damian Williams definitely should have won that route, but it's still a good catch, good throw. And then he made the move on the safety and got the touchdown. You know, I thought that Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, they both look so quick this season. It is just crazy. You know, I talked about how, you know, basically the entire offense through all the different first, second, third team, they've all been going on these shorter passing routes. And, you know, you can really see Hill and Watkins' quickness on those shorter routes. Watkins just made a Sherman with the 49ers look ridiculous on one play, made him whiff, picked up another 7 or 8 yards after the whiff tackle. It is going to be extremely hard to stop those two guys. And of course, through the preseason, you don't honestly get to talk about Mahomes and Watkins and Hill and Kelce much. I mean, Kelce basically hasn't been used at all this preseason outside of the very first passing play from Mahomes. So, you know, I mean, those four guys are the main staples of our offense, and you know, we still haven't really got to see them yet. But if anything, Watkins and Hill look like they're even quicker and faster than I've ever seen them, and that's going to be scary for defenses this year. Back to the defense, Juan Thornhill, you know, he didn't look great last night. I think it was just growing pains. You know, it was basically his first start. He got to start with the first team because Tyrann Mathieu didn't play last night. I think if it was regular season, he would have played, but he banged up his shoulder the game before, so he wasn't out there. And Thornhill, there were a couple plays specifically. I think it was either back-to-back plays or it was within a 3 or 4 play period where the Chiefs were in cover two. And he was just late getting over to his responsibility on the sideline. And with him, that's definitely a recognition thing because he's got more than enough speed to get over there. He was just a hair late recognizing it both times. And, you know, Garoppolo is, you know, he's a good enough quarterback to find that gap between the corner and the safety there in that cover two. And that's the area where the Chiefs got toasted a lot last year with Parker in there playing that spot because Parker's not great with recognition and he didn't have the wills to make it up. So anytime he blew that coverage, it went for a touchdown. Where with Thornhill, at least the plays didn't go for touchdowns. He got over there and did make a tackle on the play. There's still plenty to like from Juan Thornhill. He just had a couple rough plays last night. I had to laugh because there were a couple plays where Alex Okafor and Xavier Williams were lined up next to each other, and the 49ers ran that direction, and they had no business running at those two guys. You know, there were three offensive linemen for those two defensive linemen, and they just stood them straight up, and they got, you know, no real push against them at all. I love seeing defensive linemen just standing strong like that, especially getting double teamed and just, you know, I know they aren't usually the guys that make the play on those type of plays, but it makes it so easy for the linebackers coming in to make the play and get a clean hit on the running back. And of course, the play after the one that jumped out to me there was the touchdown, the very first touchdown for the 49ers. You know, Reggie Ragland was out in coverage on a running back, which should never happen. Reggie Ragland should never be in coverage. Listen to me, Chiefs. I know this is just the preseason, but in the regular season, do not ever have Reggie Ragland out covering a running back. He was, you know, Ward was on the same side. Ward's guy, you know, cut across the middle of the field. Reggie's guy, you know, ran towards the end zone. They crossed, and Ragland and Ward both let both of their guys go. Both of them were wide open. And, you know, they just kind of looked at each other. So it was definitely a blown coverage. But the fact that, you know, they both let their guys run free and they just stopped there just kind of made me put my hand up over my eyes there for a second. But even if it happened to be Ward's mix-up and Ward should have went with the guy, you're still in a lose-lose situation because the other receiver still would have been wide open with Ragland covering him. You know, I hate to dog on anybody, but, you know, sometimes I'm going to. And Cameron Irving got the start at guard last night over Andrew Wiley. And he had a 3 or 4 play run there where it just really pissed me off to watch him play guard. It was just a really bad stretch of plays. And I don't know why it pisses me off so much to watch him play sometimes, but it really does. And I don't really get that way watching guys play. I understand it's very difficult. I couldn't do it. I'm around 6'2", 220 in real life, which is, you know, okay size for a normal human being. But, you know, it would be tiny out there with those guys. But still, Cam Irving has been, you know, in the league quite a few years. He's been a starting guard for the Chiefs. And some of the stuff he does just seems really ridiculous to me. The first play, it was a screen play. It was kind of the misdirection screen play when Mahomes was at quarterback. He threw the ball to Damian Wilson. Wiley, who was playing guard at that time on the far side, he came in for LDT. He got his butt over there. He made a block. That was Irving's side. He got out there. He was watching Mahomes throw to Damian Wilson instead of blocking a guy. Wilson catches the ball. He turns his head, and the guy he should have blocked came in and blew up Damian Wilson before Irving even had a clue what was going on. And that really angers me because why, as offensive linemen, are you looking in the backfield watching the play? It's your job to block. You know, that's simple football. The next play, let's see. You know, and Wilson, if Irving had made that block, Williams was going to pick up at least another 5 yards, if not slip out and pick up some big yardage there. The next play was a run kind of right up the middle. Irving was double teaming with the center on the play. So they're double teaming the defensive tackle. The defensive tackle put one arm into the center, one arm into Irving, and completely knocked Irving down onto the ground, which is just kind of embarrassing if you're an offensive guard and you're taking, you know, a one-handed shot from a defensive tackle that's getting blocked by your teammate and he knocks you to the ground. You know, Cam Irving just does not have a lot of functional strength for an offensive lineman. You know, that's been a weakness of his since he came into the league, and I don't know why it's not been addressed. Let's see, what else did we have here? There was another play where, it was a run up the middle. He put his head down, blocked, ran across the field to the right. He didn't actually block a single person. He just got off balance, ended up on the wrong side of the play without blocking anybody, didn't know what was going on. I think he probably should have had a double team block with Fisher on that play, but Fisher luckily got his guy and really took care of him. But I'm just, you're like, what are you doing? You completely ran yourself out of a play without blocking anyone. Let's see. All right, I'm going to get off of my Cam Irving kick. I've got a couple more plays here, but I think that's enough to get my point across that I wasn't really thrilled with him in there at guard. And I will talk about Wiley a little bit later. Darwin Thompson, he got some plays on the field. He was the third running back in the game, but I really feel like as far as the game plan went, he was really the number two, because I think Daryl Williams was just spelling Damian Williams when he got hurt just a little bit. Went to the sideline. But he played mostly in the third quarter. And Thompson got a lot of the second quarter. I thought Thompson had made it kind of a difficult catch. Mahomes threw him the ball. It wasn't Mahomes' best throw. It got to him quick, but it didn't really lead him where he could continue running down the field. But he made the catch, broke a tackle and picked up, I think, 8 yards on a play that wasn't the greatest. And he had a couple really tough runs. Like I mentioned, I think in yesterday's podcast, I think they're kind of wanting to hide Darwin Thompson a little bit. I don't think they want everybody out there to know everything that he can do. He did have a play. It might have been right after that difficult catch. I'm not sure, but he just kind of ran out into the flat. And Mahomes was looking downfield. Mahomes finally checked it down to him, and Thompson was out of bounds when he caught the ball. And Thompson's just got to have a little bit more awareness of where he is on the field on that play. But, it's just kind of a rookie mistake. Very next play, Bell dropped kind of an easy pass for Mahomes. He was going to get hit, but it's definitely a pass he should make. The catch on, I do think Bell has, this number two job at tight end wrapped up. He is a very willing blocker. He makes some good blocks. He doesn't always get the block made, but sometimes at tight end, some of the guys they're trying to block are quick, and he struggles much more with the quicker guys in space blocking them, which I think just about every tight end struggles there. But I think Bell does do a good job blocking. Maurice Claiborne, he got a lot of play tonight. He was out there in the second quarter. He was out there all the way, I think, until the fourth quarter. I noticed, two or three tackles he made where he was willing to get up there and make a hit, which, that's something that I want to see from corners, that, they're willing to come up and make a play. As far as the secondary, it's hard to tell on, without all 22 film, what's going on back there. A lot of times you can't really see, how tight the coverage is from the TV camera. I thought they did okay. I honestly thought a lot of the problems that we had in this game, especially with the Kubiak type of offense that Shanahan runs, was with the linebackers in zone coverage, which I'll get to a little bit more later. Where am I at here? Okay, K-Pass. I noticed he did give up kind of one of Breida's longer runs. The Chiefs did a good job again this week, giving up only 3.5 yards a carry. That's a trend they've had through the first three preseason games. Every one of their units is good against the run. K-Pass, you know, he did give up, you know, one play to Breida. You know, they had a tight end kind of chip down on him, and they got outside of him. I would just, you know, like to see him recognize what they're doing on that play when the tight end comes down to try to block you, that maybe you don't need to try to get upfield, but you need to get outside. And that's something that, you know, he's a smart guy. I think the more he plays, you know, the more recognition you'll see that way. And I don't expect him to be on the field a ton as a defensive end. Of course, you know, he had a play in the second quarter where, you know, he was playing defensive end on third down. I believe it was 3rd and 5. They moved him into the 3-tech spot, and he rushed the passer from there, got off the ball quick, just blew by the guard and got the sack. And that's where he is good on the inside, is if he can get off the ball quick, get that speed rush. You know, he's got those long arms. He can get the offensive guard a little bit off balance. Where he struggles on the inside is when the guard can anchor himself and get in front of him. He doesn't get low enough to get the leverage to really push the guard back. But, you know, that's a couple times now this preseason he's just blown by an offensive guard for a sack. There, you know, was a safety blitz by Thornhill that ended up being kind of a draw run, and Thornhill just ran himself right by that play. That's just, you know, a little bit of his inexperience showing. Xavier Williams, I believe, I can't exactly remember the situation. I just remember the 49ers were inside of the 20, inside of the red zone, and Xavier Williams had a really good rush up the middle, got in Garoppolo's face, forced a quick throw, and then Daniel Sorensen made a really good play on the receiver, knocked the ball down. But I was really impressed by Xavier Williams' bull rush right there, because you don't see that a lot from him. And the more he can do that, the more he's going to get to see the field. You know, and Sorensen, as much as I've been down on him at times, he does know this defense. He is in the right place a lot. He's doing a lot of different things, and he does have significant value to this team, especially if, you know, Thornhill or Tyrann Mathieu goes down. So I do understand why they're keeping him around, even though he's not really the most physically gifted guy. He's a smart player, and until somebody behind him shows up that they can do the things he's doing, then I understand why they can't let him go. Of course, it really looks like Kyle Shermer has won the number 3 spot with the Chiefs, and that Chase Litton is on his way out. You know, it's looked that way all preseason, but in this third game, it was really obvious. So, you know, I'm expecting Litton to get cut. I still expect Shermer to probably get cut and then be put on the practice squad. I don't see any reason why the Chiefs would carry 3 quarterbacks on their active roster when there's so much talent on other places on this roster. I did see Darren Lee come up, make a good run stuff with Neiman on kind of an outside zone type of play. I think Lee did bang himself up a little bit there, and Dorian O'Daniel came in for him and played some at the end of the first half. I just didn't see a lot from Dorian O'Daniel. He was around quite a few plays, but he wasn't the one making the plays. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, it just seemed like a common theme between him and Neiman and Hitchens. But when they were playing zone coverage, the recognition was just a little off. There were different times where instead of the 49ers running guys in front of them in zones, there was nobody there and they didn't get deep enough. And the Niners were really tacking behind the linebackers in zone coverage. So I'd like to see the linebackers recognize where they're getting attacked and get their butts back. you know, where they can get their hands on some of those passes that were just getting over their heads. I'm not sure that Dorian O'Daniel makes this team. I think he will, but I wouldn't be, you know, absolutely shocked if he didn't make this team, which is kind of sad because I really like some of the things he did last year. Now, all that happened in the first half. In the second half, I really tried to watch Andrew Wiley. He was in at tackle for all of the third quarter. He did not look great at tackle. Andrew Wiley did not. But unlike Irving, Wiley's not played a lot of tackle at this high of a level. And I think, you know, a lot of the things he struggled with, I could see getting better if he got more playing time. But he got beat on back-to-back plays for sacks early in the third quarter. Both of them were by DeMontre Moore, who, you know, if you watched any AAF this last spring, he was a star in the AAF. I think he played at Texas A&M on the other side of Von Miller, if I remember right. And, you know, he's a better-than-average player playing in the third quarter of a preseason game. He's got a heck of a speed rush, and he's got some power, too. He just hasn't been able to put it all together to really be able to play a lot in the NFL. But he beat Wiley very badly on a speed rush. Wiley looked inside, I think, to help because he thought he had time to give the, you know, the guard a little bit of help, and then Moore beat him so fast around the edge. Wiley's, you know, slide step just wasn't fast enough to get out there. So then on the next play, Wiley made sure he got his slide step out there, got out there wide quick, and Moore gave him an inside punch move and just blew around him on the inside and got the sack. So that's where I was talking about, you know, him just spending more time out there at tackle, you know, getting that cat and mouse game down a little bit more will help him. The other defensive end that he went up against quite a bit, or outside linebacker, or whatever guy he was going against, was more of a bull rusher. And Wiley, he did seem to fare better against the bull rush. He did get continuously pushed backwards, though. He wasn't able to set his anchor and just stop the guy, but he was able to slow him down. But yeah, he did not look great at tackle. I think, honestly, the Chiefs have a problem at tackle. Their starters are very good, but if one of those guys goes down, they're in trouble. And God forbid both of them went down, they're in serious trouble. So I wouldn't be shocked if they don't bring somebody in that can play tackle, or maybe they are going to leave Irving at guard and just let Wiley get a ton of reps these next couple weeks and early on in this season to try to get him ready to play tackle. Let's see. What else do I have here? My handwriting is so bad. Sometimes I have real trouble reading it. Wiley did look extremely good as a run blocker at offensive tackle. You know, when he had to crash down from that edge, he sealed people off. When he had to road grade straight ahead, he was plowing people. So he definitely does have a skill there. And that skill translates pretty good at guard, too. You know, I did notice, you know, Ben Neiman, Reggie Ragland, Justin Hamilton, you know, they're all in there early in the third quarter, and they all looked very good against the run. They were still, you know, keeping the run defense strong. I mentioned that K-pass sack earlier. There was a play where Mecole Hardman, he ran just a beautiful post route. And the play actually went away from him. Shermer happened to run out to the right on the play, and all of the routes were moving right. I believe it was kind of like a drive concept. And, you know, he was looking that way, ended up going that way. But because it was a drive concept and he rolled out to the right, the safety in the middle of the field rolled to the right side of the field, and it left Mecole one-on-one on the other side against the corner. And he absolutely just left him like he was standing still, and he was wide open. And that's a play that Shermer is probably never going to be able to make because his arm is very limited. That's kind of the thing keeping him from being a bigger prospect. But Patrick Mahomes would have hit him for a touchdown, 99 times out of 100 on that play. And it was nice to see, and you also see why in the regular season teams will not play Mecole Hardman 10 yards off the line of scrimmage with a cornerback, because they just aren't going to be fast enough to stick with him. Let's see. Saw DeMontre Wade get roasted a couple different times on defense. It really seems like he's kind of fell out of favor after early on in camp being a guy they really gave a look to. But he got burned really bad by Jordan Matthews on one play. But Nick Mullins was just a hair off with his throw, or it would have been an easy, easy touchdown for the 49ers. I mentioned Ben Neiman biting on the play action fakes quite a bit. Emmanuel Ogba. He didn't necessarily jump off of the film to me, but I did notice that he was holding strong. He's somebody that doesn't get pushed back a lot. He's a very strong guy, and he fits in with that group of defensive linemen that the Chiefs have. Herb Miller, he came in early in this game, and Bashaud Breeland went out for a few snaps with a shoulder injury, or I think more of a stinger, because Breeland was able to come back. But, Miller, he didn't show out bad to me in coverage, but I did notice his lack of foot speed a couple times against the run when he was kind of the last line of defense on runs to his side. And he just, even though he had an angle and had to cover a much shorter distance than the running back, wasn't able to get out there. He just wasn't fast enough. And it worries me that, just to have a corner with that low of a straight line type speed. I think you would really have to protect them in the regular season. But if you had to play him and you had a guy with Thornhill's speed over the top of him in the regular season, it is doable. Carlos Hyde didn't play until the fourth quarter, guys. I think that shows he's really fallen out of favor. This team, I would not be surprised if he gets cut. Tre'Mon Smith had a catch as a receiver, and he didn't look awful doing it. I was kind of shocked. I don't want to see him make the team this year, but if they want to put him on the practice squad this year and let him try to, go back to being a receiver like he was in college, I'm perfectly fine with that. I just don't want them wasting a roster spot with him when we got two All-American kick returners in Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman. And I don't know why Pringle doesn't get more of a look as a kick returner. I did watch every one of Colin Saunders' snaps again this week. And honestly, guys, he looked better to me this week. Each week he's looked better and better. The first week, I thought he was overmatched. Last week, I thought he held his own, but he just didn't really win any. And this week, he won a few times. He had three or four really good plays against the run. He got upfield a couple times on pass rushes. Didn't really put direct pressure on the quarterback, but he definitely pushed the guard around, and it was nice to see. He also got his hands up. I believe he deflected a pass in this game. Either that or it was just a terrible pass, but he did have his hands up in that vicinity. I noticed that he played three tech and one tech in this game. I believe earlier on he was playing more one tech when he came in, and he didn't look near as good at one tech. One tech is more, of kind of the nose tackle of this defense. You're going to get double teamed a lot. I don't believe he really has the leg strength to take those double teams on consistently, and I think that showed. That might be something that improves, with a couple of years in the weight room, or that might never really be his spot. I don't know. But he looked much better as a three tech when he gets to kind of go up against that guard one-on-one. Showed a little bit of quickness tonight. Definitely showed more power than he had. And I noticed last week, and I actually wrote somebody that watches a lot of film, and just asked him, because I noticed that against the Steelers, Saunders was lining up about half a yard back from the line of scrimmage a lot. I didn't know if there could be a specific reason he was doing that or something. But I think, honestly, he was just kind of tentative, and he was trying to give himself a little bit more of a gap to get into the offensive lineman he wasn't really attacking. This week I didn't see any of that. He seemed to think maybe a little bit less and play a little bit more. I did notice the rushing TD that the 49ers had in the fourth quarter. I think the play before the touchdown, they'd kind of squeeze the two tackles together. He made a good play, helping stop the run. But on the very next play, he got down blocked. He over pursued a little bit, got down blocked, and they ran straight for the touchdown right where his responsibility was. So he did, I think have a little bit of a lapse right there. That is really all I noticed in this game. I've been talking for 40 minutes. I honestly don't know how. It feels like I just started. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. I love watching the film. I love trying to understand them more and more each week. And, this is my favorite hobby for sure. I appreciate every one of you guys and girls and all of Chiefs Kingdom out there that gives me a listen. I'm really shocked that people are willing to listen to me talk about football. And honestly, it makes me feel kind of proud. And I just want to let all you guys out there know that. Go Chiefs. Hope you guys have a great week. Like I mentioned earlier, the game is Thursday night this week. And then on to the Jaguars. So, I should probably have another podcast out. I might wait, a little bit later until the cuts are made this week. Because, why do two podcasts when I can get it all in one? Anyway, go Chiefs.